hello and welcome to this week's podcast. It's episode 39. Episode 39, thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to say, and I'm sure we all wanted to say, thanks ever so much to everyone who commented last week. They've got those of you who don't normally comment. It was an interesting experiment, and actually it's really like heartening, isn't it, to see that so many people who don't normally comment sort of watch it every week, and some of the comments were excellent, so thank you.
I know.
It's interesting to see how many people watch it on their TV. Yes. Well, like you said.
Yeah.
So many people said they do that, and that's why they didn't comment. That's fair enough. We'll let them off.
Have we all got our beauty filters on?
No.
Because have you
have you got yours on?
No. I don't need one, darling.
You don't, mate. You don't.
No. I've got a COVID mask that looks like facial hair.
It's brilliant. It moves as well and everything.
Look at that.
Yeah. And Dave, you're well up to speed tonight, mate.
Yeah.
He's
looking very impressive tonight.
Slick. Yeah. Very
so
slick.
Back to the comments.
Oh,
thank
wonderful.
You.
Wonderful
thank you,
comments.
Everyone who did that.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a few comments about like certain things that we talk about, which was very interesting because it's not just a case of, you know, turning up. You did your homework. You've actually watched till the end. God help you. But some of the things you've said blown me away. I couldn't comment on them all. I've commented on a few. And, well, just the depth and the fact that you even think about the shit we think about is just, yeah, respect.
And a lot of people that have said that they've been watching this almost like right from the beginning, some of them, or they've been watching for a long time now and don't stop, keep going. It's quite heartwarming, really, considering it was just a little chat back in the early days. We thought, well, what do we do? We might get 6 weeks or 8 weeks out of it until the world opens up again. But little did we know, almost a year later, we'd still be here.
Yeah.
For good or for bad.
Going through our running order and having rehearsals and all that stuff.
I tell you what's really scary is since Christmas, we've only really talked about photography as well. We haven't. Oh, there's been no other talk really at all since Christmas.
Really? Is that true?
Yeah.
We'll have to change that, won't we?
Well, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, far too serious. Can I just apologise to Lynn and Mark and whoever else mentioned that I seem to be a little bit laying down.
There's loads of comments, Jamie, about that. Loads of comments. Yeah.
There was, and I deeply apologise for that.
No,
and you'll
see
that I'm sitting up straight and looking at the camera.
All attention, nice and erect.
Last week, absolutely. I did think you was actually at the gynecologist.
What?
Morpheus in the corner had some stick for that. But he's all right now. We're all. I actually think that you deserved that little rest, Jamie, last week. You deserved that.
Yeah, but do it off a camera. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was quite relaxing. I've got a sofa here, well, a sofa bed here, and I just put my feet up and just chilled. It was just nice and chilled.
Do you know, in Jamie's defence, that is why I moved this chair around, because I noticed, not last week, but the week before, I suppose because I'm getting so comfortable, obviously, doing this, I've got an office chair over here, and I started talking to you guys like this, and then I realised I pretty much recorded the whole of the podcast with me like right down here, and I thought, oh, that looks awful. So I've had a little move about and I'm a little bit more, as James says,
you're teasing
erect.
Us with your hot logs.
I am teasing you with my hot logs.
That looks well cosy.
It is. I love this room. James, come back. What are you doing?
Do you know, this is exactly why Rod, You're Awesome put on his comment, after 37 episodes, I still can't work James out.
You're not on your own there, mate. None of us can.
Roger,
he's a mystery.
He's actually sat in his underpants. He's not hard. He's not that hard for workout, really. He's got his Y's on.
Oh, me? Yeah. Is that his name, Roger Awesome? Roger Ross? Is that a porno? Is it a porno star? Roger Rosser and Debbie Dallas does Derby. Thanks, Roger. Anyway, I appreciate it. Yeah.
Roger does.
I haven't got a clue who I am as well, so don't worry about it.
I don't think anyone has, mate.
I'm an enigma.
I brought it up earlier, but I've got to say how shiny James' glasses are. Honestly,
the window lean on.
They're so sharp and shiny.
Look at that. Ooh, yeah.
Just let your
look at that.
Yeah.
Yorkshire spit. That's wonderful.
Better than Windoline.
Short of content, I see again.
I just thought, you know what? I thought, I'm just going to sit here and not say anything and see where it goes. I'm just going to, because normally when there's a pause, I kind of fill it with something.
But
I
thought, yeah, but no, this is why, Gal, this is why you're the puppeteer. You're the puppet master, because when you don't kind of interject, we either go off in a kind of crazy tangent or there's complete silence.
But nobody speaks.
We need you.
I like a pause. I like an uneasy pause.
Do you?
A lot of people say, I don't like uneasy. I like uneasy pause because that's a comic moment.
All right, well, let's do it now then.
See?
No, I'm not comfortable with that. Not comfortable with that. Anyway, what you've been up to this week? Has anything exciting happened? I can tell you I've got my new phone, which is thank God.
It arrived bigger today, pockets, so. Gary. Bigger pockets now.
Well, more zipped up pockets, actually.
Okay.
I went for a walk today. Hello, what's going on with Manny? I went for a walk today, nearly got myself knocked over because I refused to run. Oh, I'm like, kidding. No. I'm not running across the road. I don't care if I get knocked over. My phone's not coming out of my pocket. So,
What about Did you get more logs today?
No, just went for a walk today.
Oh.
Yeah. Went out for a walk with my daughter, and we come round back towards the house, and there's this huge, really big, long log, and I sort of looked at it, I went, ooh. I'll be back for you in the morning. And she said, why do you need to go in the morning? I said, well, I don't want anyone to see me dragging a log around. It looks a bit pikey, doesn't it? You know what I mean? Sort of,
pikey.
So
like,
yeah. So
I can't say that.
Can you say that?
Well, I just did.
He just has.
Yeah. Sorry to any
travellers.
Sorry to any travellers who are watching. I do apologise.
Yeah.
Well, I had some good news this week, but I'm a little bit worried to tell you now, because we started talking about this, well, you guys did, before we started recording.
Aye.
So I'm a bit worried about telling you now, but my good news this week is Helen got a jab today.
Oh, brilliant. She got a Pfizer jab.
So, and I hope she didn't take it away from anyone in the Northwest.
Like she was on about earlier.
Exactly. When you were saying... Yeah, and I thought, how do I break this news now that Helen's had her jab today? So
it's about time she got a good prick.
Yeah. Oh God!
Now apparently they're giving it to everybody within a sort of 50-mile radius of London. They've just now said any further out, forget it. You fend for yourselves now.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah,
to be honest with you, you see all these Geordies at watching football without any tops on, they should be able to cope with a little bit of COVID, actually.
Yeah,
be fine.
I'm not going to speak about the people who should be held accountable.
Go on, Manny.
Don't whisper it.
I was saying it in a Chuck Norris kind of voice.
Okay. Brilliant. So, has anybody else had anything exciting to tell us about this week?
I think we should bring Dave in here because I think Dave needs a mention for his fitness regime. Considering we're on lockdown, the guy's done incredible.
Yeah. How much, Dave? How much?
£15.
Since when?
£15.
January 1st.
And that was just out of one of his wallets.
Yeah. Yeah. Stone over a stone.
Fantastic, though.
Is that purely on diet, Dave? Is it a combination of diet and exercise?
No, a bit of both. I've upped the exercise quite a lot, but I've only been eating about 750 calories a day.
Oh.
So.
Are you permanently hungry?
No, not at all. No, it's like just now, I've had a prawn salad for tea. Fabulous, no problem at all. I won't be eating again today. So it's fine. I've got willpower. When I set my mind to something, I tend to see it through. So it would be fine.
You have a treat, though. Have you got a little treat that you give yourself each day?
No.
No?
No.
Chocolate cake.
No. Yeah. I'm on zero sugar, zero carbs.
Wow.
I tell you what, it's the carbs that's doing it isn't it? Or
don't you just crave... Yes, I will, Manny. Don't you just crave carbs, though? Don't you just like...
Yeah.
Or give me anything, potatoes. No?
No.
Do you have nuts up roots, Dave?
No, not at all.
Seeds or anything like that.
So what's so what would you eat in a day then, Dave, to be on 7:50?
Breakfast, one chicken sausage and two eggs in an omelette. But I've had that breakfast for the last 18 months.
The heck
chicken sausage.
Lovely,
but just one.
Yeah.
Lunch is either ham or prawn salad in a bowl it's a little bowl. And then evening meal is usually chicken leg and salad, or tonight prawns and salad, or salmon and salad.
Right.
It's not that much different to what I was on before, whereas previously I was eating nuts and I would have a tortilla wrap with the salad and that sort of thing, and I was doing less exercise.
And the kebab every now and again.
Every now and then, a kebab on the way home from a shoot, yeah.
Do you think that will change, dear, once you start to get back out and up with the mountains?
Probably, yeah. I mean, you know, because on that sort of calories, energy. I'd get halfway up the first ridge and I'd be phoning for a helicopter.
Yeah. So but in all fairness, a chicken kebab isn't particularly unhealthy, though, is it?
Very good willpower.
A chicken kebab isn't particularly unhealthy.
No, I actually, usually when I was having chicken kebabs, I wasn't eating the pita. It was just chicken and salad, basically.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of chicken, though. I mean, it would still be 700 or 800 calories, just the one thing.
Right. How could you throw away the pita? The grease-filled pita
sustenance
is the best bit of a kebab, surely. And
sauces as well, isn't it?
What I do is I get a kebab, nice big doner kebab, and then I'll squash it like that as much as I can to get as much fat out of the doner meat as I can, and then basically throw away the doner meat and just eat the kebab. I can't understand why I'm like that.
I've got a confession to make. I've got a kebab coming and I might have to eat it while we're on.
What kebab have you got coming?
It's a chicken kebab, actually, chili sauce on a naan bread.
Mm.
What, you having it delivered or having it made?
It's on its way, it's been delivered.
Oh. I'm.
You deliver? No, we do lamb and chicken.
Chips and.
I think we spoke about this before on the podcast when it comes to kebabs, and I think I know I've said that I've not had a doner kebab for about 20 years now.
Same here.
And I am saving my doner kebab for when I'm on death row. That will be my guilty pleasure.
No, you were
I'm a celebrity, get me out of it.
Yeah.
Have you chosen last meal?
That's a very good point, actually, Maddie. What are you going on death row for?
No, Have you murdered someone? Which one of us would you kill? That's the topic for tonight. Which one of us is Darren going to kill first?
And why?
I don't stand much chance.
Burns, you come back here.
You.
Well done, David. Seriously, mate.
Yeah, well done.
That is some willpower. Yeah,
they slick, Dave.
Something else that happened this week that I really enjoyed was I did a presentation to a camera club last night. That was good fun. Nice bunch of people. Oh, if anyone's listening from Sale Photographic Society, thank you for your hospitality.
Society.
I'm also available for booking sale.
And me.
So what was your talk on, Dave?
Landscape photography.
Oh, okay. It's all I know.
I couldn't talk about anything else.
Okay, good stuff. Good stuff. So, moving on. What? Mally, why are you laughing?
I just unadulterated, abuse of the podcast and advertising myself to Sale Camera Club. I love it.
Yeah, but I've got a feeling that Dave did it for free, didn't you, Dave? Because you're that kind of guy.
Yeah, I did, Daniel. There was no mention of money involved, but, you know, I am partial to a kebab.
Oh, dear.
I like pans of soda.
Oh, it's going to be a long night.
I'm being quiet. I'm being tame.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So moving on. Was it Neil Bunnell who posted a link to... Was it a BBC report?
Yeah, it was BBC.
Every cat and his dog posted it, Gary.
Did they? I'll try and find the link and post it in the description. But I think, was it you, Jamie, who brought it to our attention? yeah. in the podcast. Did you want to give a brief sort of description of what it was about? And you know,
yeah, it was on the BBC News, and it was about the vandalism really that was created during lockdown at Wismans Woods, which is down in Dorset. No, further.
Devon,
Devon,
isn't it? Devon, down in Devon. Sorry, all those southwest people down in Devon. you know, obviously it's a well-known woods for photographers.
Dartmoor.
Because of the Dartmoor, is it? Okay, can you be a little bit more specific?
Just to the left of Dartmoor.
20, 56, 60 or 1.
South right, Dartmoor.
Okay. Put a pin in the map. So yeah, now it's obviously quite well known because of its sort of ancient trees, moss-covered, gnarly, twisty trees. And Neil particularly has had some really nice shots, but a lot of other photographers have as well. And the point he was making was, I think during lockdown, people had started to do their daily exercises and go around the place and are just causing havoc. Campfires, I believe, they were setting there. And the thing that really wound me up, you know, just stripping the moss, you know, blatantly stripping moss off of these bloody trees. Why do that? It's absolutely ridiculous.
Good kindle for fires, apparently.
Oh, yeah, but come on, you know, it's like ridiculous. Absolutely. And obviously it's not just happening in Wismans Wood, is it? It's happening in lots of other places around the country where, you know, people are just going out, you know, where I can't go where I normally want to go, so I'm going to go down this wood and just create bloody havoc. It's well, just crazy.
I think... Right, Manny?
Yeah, my mic just descend.
Struck his cock.
I think there's a little bit of that, but I don't think it's often, I don't think it's wanton vandalism and destruction. I think what it is actually is just people are ignorant. They're just ignorant.
It's total disregard of landscape.
Yeah, it's not people being malicious or anything like that. I just think that they're just ignorant to how important it is. So, you know, it could be kids taking kids off for a walk, and the kids will be pulling stuff out and ripping, and the parents won't stop them. They won't know any better. They won't say, you should leave that. That's not a thing to do.
Johnny, get off that moss. That tree's been here long before you were born.
Yeah.
Are they not doing that? So.
No, they're not doing that, Mally. No. You scared the crap out of me. I thought you were going to go and kill one of your kids, if I was honest there. But I don't necessarily think, though, it's malicious damage. I think it's just ignorance, and that's the problem. There's an educational need here, I think.
Yes. It's respect and education. Mm-hmm. Johnny, get off that tree. Don't do that. Oh, no, let him play. He's only playing with the tree. The tree's just a tree. It's not going to be okay. No, sorry. Don't mess with the tree. Leave the tree alone. Step back from the tree and come and walk with your parents, please, and I'll tell you about the badgers and the squirrels.
What vandalism were they doing, exactly? When we say vandalism, what exactly was it doing? Does it involve graffiti or is it... climbing trees, breaking branches.
I think they were having campfires, so there was burning and that going on. But whether they were spray painting the trees or not, I didn't see.
So
that
it wasn't going to be young kids, then, is it? It's going to be adolescents, 20-year-olds, that kind of that kind of age group.
I still think that there is an educational issue. I don't think that a lot of them, we have a lot of kids around, we got some hills just round in our village, and in the first lockdown there's nowhere for kids to go, there's nothing for them to do, so all the pubs are shut, all the cinema, I'm not saying it's an excuse. What I'm saying is all the places are closed, so it's like the adults as well, all like you'd normally go maybe to a cinema, to a restaurant, or to a pub, and instead of that, they'll say, "Let's go for a walk up the hills. Let's go for a walk up Barton Hills." So our hills were absolutely flooded with people from Luton, who came in, parked up, and like blocked every exit, every entrance to everyone's driveway, and headed up the hills. And there was rubbish up there, and there were barbecues up there, and there was mess up there, and it became a boggy, muddy mess. But they're not doing it. They're not saying, "Oh, I'll tell you what, let's go into Wismans Wood and smash the place up. Let's knock a tree down." They're just not giving it any thought at all. There's no consideration. And that's an education issue. That's not like a load of kids going out there with axes on purpose, to try and smash the place up. They just don't even think. You set up a campfire, have a barbecue. You're not thinking about the damage you do. You're just thinking, I'm out. Oh, look at me. I'm out in nature. It's great. I'm having a barbecue with my mates and a few beers. I'll leave the barbecue behind. I'll make a load of mess of all the beers and I'll sod off. It's an educational issue.
I'll just say this quick. Ironically, the place in my last video is a place where we used to build fires and used to get wood to make the fires. And all the wood was from dead fallen trees because trees do shed dead wood. And we did that. And I understand what you're saying about educational thing, but I think this is more of a social disease. This is more of a problem than education. I think there is a violence there. There's a wanton to destroy and there's no respect for nature.
But we're saying there's no malicious acts about it. Kids are just kids out and just explore.
No, I don't agree.
I think we're partly to blame in a way, though, to allow freedom of movement. You know, and I say it to blame, but we are at advantage in this country in comparison to a lot of other countries around the world where we're free to roam. End of day, I see fires left, right and centre in all sort of woods.
No. I think, if anything, we're ill-prepared. I think you probably look at Wiseman's Wood and it's probably not a very well-populated area usually. So you get a few people going out to take photos, you get a few people going out to take walks, but you're not getting the numbers that lockdown has forced out because they've got nowhere else to go. And I'm not talking about kids, I'm talking about adults, everyone. Got nowhere to go, let's have a lovely day out walking up in the hills or walking through the woods. And we're ill-prepared. There should be signs. There should be signage everywhere saying this is. But there should. Why? What? Okay. What would you say then, Mally?
Why do we need signs?
To educate
people. Because people are stupid. People are ignorant and they don't realise the damage they're doing.
Can I just come in here very quickly?
Yeah, of course. Like
when I went to Iceland, there's a beach in Vík. And it's got these they call it the deadly sneaker waves. And there is, as soon as you walk onto the beach, there is this huge board explaining exactly what they are, with different pictures, how many people have died. Now, you still get idiots, obviously, kind of like trying to chase the waves and all the rest of it. But without that sign there, I wouldn't have known how dangerous this particular beach is. So I hear what you're saying, Gary. I think it is important. And I think, as shocking as it is, I don't think... I like to think
watch
anyway...
Watch out, there's a branch. It's took a swipe at me.
So I'd like to think that... I don't know what that was. But I'd like to think that people are not doing that maliciously. They're just not educated. So I do think a few signs up... It couldn't hurt, could it, to have
so
a few signs up?
The comment I put on Neil Burnell's post about this was that society is sick, there's an illness. Because if we need signs to tell people not to climb on 100-year-old trees, to rip them to pieces or to damage a nature, natural environment...
Do they
environment,
know that? Do they know?
They should know
knowledge?
That. They should know
why?
That.
How can
why,
someone...
Why are they not... Well, I've got a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old and they're being told that by the school. So if these kids are not going to school and they're not a part of an educational system, then it's down to the parents. If the parents are not a part of a system where they're telling people that nature is important, we need to protect the world we live in, or at least have respect. At the end of the day, we're putting signs up. Do you really think they'd listen to the signs in Jaws? No, they just went out on the surfboards and there was a big killer shark.
That was fiction.
Yeah, that was a film, though.
I'm joking. It was. I'm trying to inject a little bit of a circumstance where a similar thing happened, where it was like, no, open the beaches, it's fine. We live in a world where we're driven by money and we're driven by, we can do what we like because we are free. We can do what we like. If I want to damage a tree, fuck you. That's the sickness, the illness that society has. We're in a point of where people think that they can fight against systems. Putting signs up is a system. It's more deeper than that for me. It's about a respect for nature, and it's not happening, and I don't think a sign would make any difference, but that's just my opinion anyway. It upsets me.
I think you're wrong, though, because I think that... You, in some respects, there are going to be people, you stick a sign up and they're going to go, screw you, right? They're going to go, screw you, I don't care what you say. But there will be a lot of people who go to places like that, who've probably never been to an ancient wood before, because they've never had need to. They've never found that we're in lockdown, we've got nowhere else to go.
It's not anything like that's hard to understand.
No, but
why is it hard to understand? There's a path.
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you is if there are people... Well, we walked off the path in the fens, didn't we? In Hong Fen. We walked off the path.
I didn't damage anything.
No, but the point is...
I was 15 feet behind you, and we was not even that far off the path.
No, but the point is we didn't know until we were told
but we didn't,
you shouldn't be walking off the path.
I didn't go and get my axe out. I didn't start damaging things. We walked on some grass.
Talking about axes.
Yeah, but a lot of these people who are in Wistman's Wood and places like that, they're not going out there with axes to smash the place up. What they're doing is they're not realising the scientific importance or the importance of the fact it's an ancient woodland. They probably just wander around normally and they don't understand. They've probably never been there before. Then they don't understand. You stick a sign up, you're going to get people who go, yes, sod you. But you're going to get a lot of people who go, oh, okay, fair enough. I didn't realise that. I won't
get
do
it
that.
Now. Yeah. I didn't realise how important that moss was. I didn't realise how long it takes for that moss to grow.
I think you're deluded.
And it should be protected. No, not deluded.
I think that's deluded. If you think these people who are doing this are going to read a sign in the first place.
Well, they are.
I think
that's the majority
deluded.
Of people are. If we're just saying it's all kids, then maybe not. They've a disregard and ignore the no parking sign like they do. No climbing on ancient trees.
It's happening everywhere. It's not just trees, is it? It's all across the country. It's happening everywhere.
I blame it on Neil Burnell. Bringing attention to the world.
Yeah. Someone said that. Someone said that online, and I've never heard anything as more ridiculous in my life.
I think, to be fair, it will hit a nerve with people like us who enjoy the landscape, enjoy going out and appreciating it, and nature people generally. It hits a nerve because we appreciate it for what it is, because we like to enjoy it. But others that just don't appreciate nature and don't appreciate what it is won't care.
I don't think it's not that they don't like, even respect it. They just don't, perhaps just don't quite understand. That's all. I'd like to think so anyway. And I do think a little bit of education, and people would say, "Oh, I didn't realise." As Gary said,
cattle prod.
Yeah. I think littering is a good point. You know, people surely understand you're not leaving litter out.
That's different altogether.
But it's similar to what you're saying with a campfire.
Yes,
you're leaving litter effectively, burn stuff, and you're disregarding the environment, aren't you?
Look at the ocean. What are you doing with that?
No, Jamie's spot on there. I think it, leaving litter, which we had signs saying don't litter, people still litter. I'm not disputing what Jamie's spot on. Jamie's spot
on. Yellow snow.
Yeah.
Same, innit?
Do you know what? We're having this conversation, and do you know what? All I feel is sadness about it. I'm sorry. It upsets me because I don't find it hard to understand. That I know that's just me. And I know
different
that
values, Mally.
I know. But isn't it hard to see beyond that? Isn't it hard to see that someone doesn't care for a tree when, if without trees, we can't breathe?
Wow. Yeah, but what I'm saying is a lot of people probably don't see that as not caring for a tree. Surely there's a problem
with the education system then. Surely there's a problem deeper rooted here. The problem is that if people can't understand that without trees, we can't live. There will be no human beings without trees. That's it. That's the end.
Yeah, but these people aren't chopping the trees down. They're just pulling the moss off the trees.
No, they're doing more than that. They've been ripping them down and making fires. They've been snapping branches. So what I read was, all right, they're getting the moss, but they're also destroying the trees to burn and make fires. So that to me is like ripping a limb off a human. To me, you know what I'm like with trees. I always have been since I was a kid. You pick up what's fallen, you pick up what's dead, and you burn what's dead. Even moss doesn't burn well. It's got to be dry tinder, and it doesn't burn well if it's attached to a tree because it's still got liquid in it. It's living. It's a living thing.
I'll hold my hands up and say that when I was younger, I pulled branches off trees.
Yeah, I did.
What kind of trees, though? What kind of branches?
Don't know.
Ancient ones.
Twigs.
No, branches. When I was a kid, used to knock about. Used to knock about my mates.
Again, we part of the problem, Northern Obed. Simple as that. Everyone makes mistakes. This is something different, isn't it? Everyone makes mistakes.
Why is that different? I don't see why that's different, because I didn't know any better. And now I know better.
But did you tell your mates to do that? Was the 20 of you doing it?
No, but there was a few of us in the group, and we would pull.
Monkey group.
We'd chase each other with the branches.
Not bad.
But nowadays, I know different. Yeah, but there's lots of other things you could say that there's loads of things that you probably did when you were younger.
Of course,
that people look upon and say you're a knobhead.
Yeah, and of course.
But it's just But it's
putting a sign up's not going to stop you being a knobhead, is it?
Well, it might have done. Yeah.
Did it do with you?
Well, if someone had educated me to the importance of trees. Then yeah.
When did this turn into question time for
Christ? We've started off incredibly heavy.
If we're
going to
have a debate about woods and trees and things and ripping trees down.
Someone sent me a text when we get onto photography.
Let's move off this subject. It's getting far too heavy.
How's the project going on? How's the tree project?
Sorry, I think I changed my name to James Burns.
All right. What's next subject then?
Let's talk about pulling legs off of ants.
With a magnifying glass.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on then, shall we? Let's move on to talking.
Actually, no. Let's not. I think you've just answered something there, actually. You raised the subject about what people were doing to Wiseman's Woods. We got an answer, and we realised that people who do things like that are knobheads.
Yeah.
Done.
I'd still disagree with you. I don't think they're
Of course you do.
I don't necessarily think all of them are.
That's
I think
good.
A lot of people are ignorant.
I know what you mean, though.
I don't think they're doing it. It's lack of education. If you're doing it maliciously, and you're doing it on purpose, and you're doing it to cause damage and destruction, then yes, you are. But if you're doing it because you don't know any better, then no, you're not. You just need to be educated. And that doesn't make you a knobhead. That just makes you ignorant. And there's a difference.
No, there isn't.
Yes, there is. What? No, so, okay. Really? But you really think that? You honestly think that?
Oh, wow.
Time out.
Well, that's half an hour I'm not getting back.
Yeah, it's a
bit. His dad's gone. He's gone to put the fire out.
He's cockled.
He's just chucking a bit of moss in there. He's doing it.
From what he got from when he was at Wiseman's Woods last.
Yeah, then, how's his dry moss coming up?
I'm not arguing, I'm just stating
Can I just
what I
come
think.
In here and say, these are not from Wiseman's Woods?
And we just said that.
So moving on, why don't we talk about our favourite vlogger of 2020? This is something we were going to do before Christmas, but we never quite got round to. Who wants to go first? I reckon we'll let Darren go first. Who's your favourite vlogger?
Well, I'm not saying my favourite vlogger, but a vlogger that really inspired me. Well, there was two last year, and it was all to do with the wildlife. And there's obviously the big vlogger out there, Morton Hilmer. I don't know if anyone's heard of him, but he is pretty much like the Thomas Heaton of the wildlife photography. And he does, I think his channel, even though it is obviously all about wildlife photography, there's a lot of bushcraft involved as well. But the guy that really inspired me last year was a guy from Norway called Trond Westby.
The land of two curlings around 10 meters from me. I pointed the lens in the wrong direction. I tried to move as slowly as possible. But either they just decided not to be in that area, or I scared with my movement, the small movement. That I don't know, but they are in the same side as the plover was earlier. The light is starting to getting really, really low, so starting to losing hope to stay here for any pictures. I managed to get some of the plover, but realise that this is not going to be the same day as last time.
Fantastic photographer. And I wouldn't say his bushcraft is perhaps as good as Morton, but it's just his delivery. It's just his very slow delivery. And I like the kind of almost like the broken English as well, you know. And the images that he gets were just fantastic. And I just love watching his videos.
I have to say, I haven't.
Was I meant to stop then? I don't know if I was meant to stop and let the video play. I didn't know.
No, you were great. I've got great bits cut it in. It's fine. I have to say, I haven't heard of him, though. Have you, any of you guys?
No, I haven't.
No. Yeah. The last one.
Yeah. You have, Manny, yeah?
Yeah, very good. Very good. From Martin Hilmer. I think he actually came up off one of his videos.
Did he?
Yeah.
So it's similar sort of genre photography-wise.
Exactly the same, yeah.
Exactly the same. A scene in the snow photographing foxes, although that might be Martin Hilmer.
I don't remember that one from Trond. It might have been, but can I say, I don't want to be negative towards Morton Hilmer, but I do think Trond Westby's photos are fantastic. That's all I'm going to say. I think Morton's videos are probably better, but I think Trond's photos are far superior. I'll leave it there.
Cool.
One to watch.
Yeah. Who's next? Who wants to go next?
I'll go next if you want.
Okay.
So, mine is very much somebody that I really respect as a photographer and a vlogger. No, it's not you, James. You're my second, mate. We're not my first.
Yeah.
Where was I then?
You were way down the list, mate. No, this is somebody that I've watched for several years, and he's a cracking photographer, really, really good photographer. But the thing I like about him is the way that he shares his knowledge with the viewer of the subjects, the places he visits, and it's Simon Booth.
Just got rid of the bag. As I was walking down the footpath just behind the camera there, this group of trees, possibly including that one, caught my eye, but particularly these at the background. These are oaks and they're growing out of just this rocky outcrop here, and I love the way that they're all leaning over one side. They're very, very dynamic shapes to them. I'll show you a slightly cropped in version of the ultimate shot that I'm looking for, but I just don't think the conditions are right now. It just needs the atmosphere to create separation from these trees to the background. But what lovely shapes they've got, just the way that they lean over to that left hand side. Very, very strong composition.
So Simon Booth is a nature photographer, really. Obviously he's a landscape photographer, but he spends a lot of time in nature, whether that's in forests, whether that's in meadows, whether that's in, you know, wherever it is. And he's very good at actually explaining to the viewer exactly what he's photographing, even down to the Latin names of the fauna and the flowers and the weeds that he photographs. And I remember a video he did last year, I think, around bracken. Mm. And it was such an interesting video. And you wouldn't think that you could create a whole video around bracken, but you know, he obviously talked about how to photograph it, but he also talked about the differences between ferns and bracken and how to notice the difference. I think actually, Darren, I was talking to you about this when we were at Home Fen several months ago. About
you did with me.
Ferns and bracken.
You did.
And it was just fascinating. And I think that's what I love about Simon, is he just really just grabs you. And when he talks away, you can't help but just get, you know, hooked on what he's telling you because it's so interesting. And obviously the way he describes what he's shooting and how he takes things, and he's very good at, you know, illustrating his, you know, how he's shooting his photography and framing things up. But for me, the thing that I just love about Simon is his love and passion for nature, and that passion really comes across in his videos. Very, very knowledgeable guy, and I've got a lot of respect for him, and you know, love what he does. he's been through some, you know, bad times recently. Some, I don't think he's had some personal tragedy going on, and I hope he's, if you're watching, Simon, I hope you sort of get back out there soon and get back into nature and enjoy it for what it is and share it with the world, because it's, it, you know, you've got a cracking channel. And yeah, that's my vlogger of 2020, really.
He's recently released a video for the first time this year since his loss.
Oh, yes, he has. He has one. Yes.
Yeah, can I just say, what an absolute, what a guy as well. Really nice, down-to-earth guy. I had the pleasure of meeting him at the Northern Photography Show, sat side by side while watching Terry Abrams and Thomas Heaton. Really nice, gentle guy, really friendly person as well. So yeah, absolutely agree.
Yeah, we sat together, James, if you remember, after in the cafe and had a drink with him.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
Gent, lovely guy.
Yeah. Before he went off to buy some case filters.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And he's a case ambassador.
He is, isn't
he? Who isn't?
Sam, yeah.
I think the thing I like about him is he's got a fantastic way of explaining his composition and his photography. He's very, very clear, concise, simple. He doesn't complicate everything, and he just explains it really well. I really like watching him for that.
Yeah, agree. Meticulous.
And it's not a big production, his videos, really, either. He's not a great one for loads of B-roll and that type of thing. He's very much just down to the nature and talking about what it is. You know, he calls them films. He doesn't call them vlogs. He calls them films, doesn't he? Creates a film.
Yeah.
But it is a film of his, of him out there within nature, and as I say, sharing that knowledge. So it's like an educational film. That's what it is. And it's great to watch. So yeah, that's mine.
Well, I was picking the same. Earlier we spoke, didn't we, before we recorded? Yeah. But I think Jamie's pretty much said anything. I had Simon in my mind for quite some time. I've spoke to Simon quite a bit, and like, me and James met him at the Northern Photography Show at Penrith, and just a wonderful gentleman to speak to. So my choice, I've actually decided that I'm going to go away from Simon, because we've both picked the same, and I don't think I can say any more than what Jamie said. He's pretty much spot on. I've learned so much from Simon in Fern and Fauna. But before I tell you my choice, the reason why I initially picked Simon is he reminds me of my granddad, rest in peace. Me and my granddad used to go out perch fishing, and we used to go out through places in Chester, Cheshire, Delamere, and get lost for 12 hours, sun up, sun down, in the woods. And you can never get lost, my granddad said. You could never get lost. And Simon reminds me, I'm sorry, Simon, because I don't think there's that much differences in age. He reminds me of my granddad, that time in the world where you would go blackberry picking, you would make nettle pop, you would make poultices to heal wounds, and you'd do that from collecting from the world around you. From nature, from different flowers. I mentioned nettles, but nettles are a great healer. You can use and cultivate nettles to do many things. But my choice, and this is a real switch, and it's something that Jamie said, and it's someone who I've looked up to and admired for a long time. And he's shaking his head, but he's not far off the truth. Because I watched James Burns' first video, and I still watch him today. And
you're no better to do with your life.
But then it dawned on me. What is the star attraction here? What is it that's actually caught my eye? Of course, it was the trees. So I tried to isolate them, frame them up, rather than spending hours on end looking for the right patterns. I focused on the beauty, which of course is the lovely patterned sculptured trees. And of course, got the added benefit of the fog as well.
I'm serious, I've wrote many a poem. I'm not great with English, I'm not articulate, I'm not that educated. to be honest. Although I went to high school and did everything in college and art college. But I used to write a poem every video for James.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yeah.
And I think he might I think he might have thought. I think you might think I fell out with him because I've stopped writing poems. It's too hard for it, dude.
No, you still hint every now and
then. I try every now and again. But we're going
back a few years.
We're going back. Yeah, we're going back about 3 years here.
Yeah,
and James was a big inspiration for me to get into the Lake District. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I enter the kebab.
Oh, look at that. Oh, right, well, if you're going to eat your kebab, I'm going to finish off my banana.
So on that note, I my favourite vlogger is James Burns.
Oh, give over. Okay.
James?
Sorry, I'm not going to bring much to the party here because I don't particularly have a favourite one. There's a couple of mine. There's a Norwegian guy by the name of Oddvar Oosterveit. Absolutely fantastic storyteller. And the thing about Oddvar is he's not frightened to push the boundaries when it comes to his photography. He doesn't quite fit into a cliche. He always tries to explore things. But his storytelling, his videos, I just think are excellent. And he comes across. So it's Oddvar. But not only that, there's a young chap I've been following, I don't even know his name, Aidan Robbins, that you probably won't have heard of. A young filmmaker.
How old is he, James, when you say young?
How young?
Yeah.
Early 20s, I reckon.
Right,
early
20s.
I'll send you a link to it, but excellent video maker. And again, he tells a story. He's done one recently about A Winter Wonderland. He just tells a story through his his footage and films. It's really good and very well professionally done. I'd love to colour grade my stuff like his, but
you shared him on the group, didn't you?
I think I did.
Yeah, I've seen some of his very good. Yeah, very, very
really
good.
Really good. Really top class stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, a couple there for me.
Excellent.
Good, Dave.
Well, did you want me to do a screen share thing? Because I did line something up.
Yeah, go for
if
it.
No one else has done it, so it might be slightly left field. I'm just going to play this. First, only 60 seconds.
For as long as I can remember, I've felt this longing whenever I pass by a grand mountain or a mysterious forest. I felt it whenever I drive by a powerful waterfall or look at a silent stoic glacier. It's like I'm drawn towards it, and even though many hours later I'm in a totally different place, I still think about it. And if I've heard its call, I know that sooner or later I'm gonna end up there. I think it's as simple as curiosity, or the lure of the adventure.
It's odd, Bjorn, but this particular 60-second piece, what he has to say about why he does landscape photography is exactly why I do it. And what I really like about Odd Bjorn, apart from the fact he's an extremely good photographer and I enjoy what he does, but I really like his videos because, as James said, he's got this mechanism to do storytelling where with a lot of video makers, you get a bit of B-roll, and it's where you start skipping forwards or even clocking out. I've never felt like that with Odd-Bjørn. It's always really important part of the storyline. And so I just sort of get the impression that if we were sat in some Norwegian bar over an outrageously priced pint of freezing cold fizzy stuff, we'd probably have a lot in common. And he shoots the same sort of thing as me. A lot of coastal work, mountains. So that's right up my strata. That particular one, the first 60 seconds, literally, of his intro is exactly what I think about landscape photography. He talks about he sees a tree or a waterfall or a feature in the landscape, and it eats at him, and he knows he's got to go back and capture it, and he knows that there's something there that he's got to photograph. And that's exactly how I feel about my patch around here.
Is that a recent one, Dave?
No, that was May last year.
And what's it called here?
All the things that wait to be discovered, brackets, part one.
Okay, I'll look for that.
Cool.
I'm not saying he's my favourite vlogger, but we were asked about somebody that inspired you in 2020. Yeah. And so...
Yeah.
He did a video where he went down to the course with all these, like, worn rocks as well. And were you talking about the mountains or the things to be discovered? He did a similar thing with the coastline, and that blew my mind, what he did. So good.
But I'm subscribed to count them on two hands, and he's one of them. I don't watch a lot of videos, to be honest.
Well, I thought about lots of different people, and I thought, oh, I don't know, you know, who can I think of to, you know, describe my 2020 and give me inspiration and blah 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 blah. And actually, really, honestly and truly, there's only one person. And I mean, you guys, you know, I always watch all of you religiously, and a few others, but the one, honestly and truly, that really inspired me in 2020 was you, Darren.
In terms of photography, I wasn't worried about composition. I was more focused on, well, focus, I suppose. Apart from sunrise and sunset, landscape photography is a fairly slow genre. There's normally time to find a shot, compose, focus, and check the histogram before taking that first test shot. Wildlife photography is nothing like that. And so I wanted to practice on whatever came my way and wherever it sat on the perch. Over the last few days, I've been Googling wildlife camera settings, but there's nothing like putting theory into practice in order to fully understand them. I'm still a long way away from feeling totally confident, but what I can tell you is this genre of photography is really exciting.
It was watching your vlogs on wildlife. It was watching you get out, and I've always really, you know, been interested in or found you like someone who I can really relate to. Ever since I very first started watching you, I thought this guy is someone sort of who's very much like me. I felt you were like me, and I just felt that, you know. I knew that you were going to be one of those guys that if I met, we'd just get on and just have a, you know, whatever.
Well, you said that to me when we were in that pub. You said, there's this bloke called Darren Knight. He's the sort of bloke that I'd have a drink with in the pub.
Yeah.
And now look at us. Can't get rid of him.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. But it's just
get a room.
Your bird stuff this year, that's always been, or last year, was just fantastic. And that, without watching you, I don't think I'd have gone out and done the stuff that I've done in my
garden.
That's
very kind. Thank you. That is very kind.
I could have gone, oh, yeah, it was so-and-so, so-and-so, or so-and-so, so-and-so. But actually, it was you. So there's no point really just, you know, beating around the bush. But there's not many people I watch really religiously anyway anymore. I used to watch loads of people, but there's you five and...
Do you watch Tom as regularly? Tom's probably Eaton.
Yeah. I don't watch him as regularly as... I don't watch it every video. but I do watch him reasonably regularly. I kind of, he out of all of the real big names, I still watch him. And I do, if Paul Johnson puts a video out, then I generally tend to watch that. But I watch a lot of smaller guys, you know, a lot of just, it tends to be the ones who've been doing it for a long time but don't get a lot of credit for it. And I kind of find myself being drawn to them because I want them to succeed and I want them to do well. So I'll kind of feel like I'm watching them and I'm supporting them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, it does, yeah. You know?
I made a comment on the group the other day that there seems to be a lot of new vloggers still coming along, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
It is good, yeah.
Yeah. I popped onto a Facebook group. I can't remember what it's called.
Landscape Photographer on YouTube UK.
That's another one. It's like YouTube Photography Channel or something similar along those lines. And there are so many people posting links to videos on there that I've never heard of.
Right.
So, there must be another, God knows how many people doing photography in the UK that just haven't even contemplated, you know. And I need to take time to have a look through some of those. And some of those, no doubt, will disappear quite quickly because that tends to be what happens. People give it a go and they're not so good. But out of those, there'll probably be quite a few stick around, you know.
It's a lot harder these days, though, isn't it? Coming around this in last year or so, starting a new channel to get noticed.
Yeah.
I think we more or less started at the right time. Even though we were a bit late.
We was a little bit late to the party.
We were kind of a second wave, weren't we? Really.
Well, I was probably 2.5, really.
Yeah.
Because to be fair to, you, to what you said there... Sorry, how long have I been?
Yeah.
2.5 years. I've been doing it now, but you know, as Gary just said, and what you do well, Gary, is you support the smaller channels, and you supported me, and I called you out a couple of times in my early vlogs when you helped me to, you know, get my name noticed and share my channel on various sites, and you know, and you do need that leg up, without a doubt, because as we've just said, it's such a busy market out there for landscape photographers on YouTube. You need to get noticed, and you need a little bit of a nudge every now and again and a bit of a leg up by somebody just to help you along.
Well, yeah, definitely. But I think that the more people who turn up nowadays, the less people who are likely to support, you know, the other guys. It's, you know, I mean, I think it's hugely important if you see someone, like if you're an experienced vlogger and you see someone who needs a bit of a hand, just to give them a little bit, you know, it doesn't cost anything, does it? Just to say, so-and-so's really good.
Yeah,
just a comment as well. I commented on a video the other day.
You all right, Melly?
I've had a nosebleed. I've had a nosebleed.
Yeah. I thought Charlie. So. Yeah.
Have you?
I turned my video off and I've abandoned the kebab because I thought it was rude. Put the kebab on the side, but then my nose started pumping with blood. So, apologies, gentlemen. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. Is your chili too hot?
Do you know? I thought it was chili. I thought it was chili, and then it was
blood.
It was claret.
Blood donor.
Oh, Jesus. I'm all right. I get nosebleeds regular, but I've put the kebab down to one side for now.
Okay, so another topic for tonight that we were going to talk about, and this is another one from you, Jamie. Actually, you're rattling through them tonight. You're saying adding people in landscape shots. Do we do it? If not, why not? Does it help us tell a story? So do you want to elaborate on that a bit, mate?
Yeah, well, there was a couple of reasons that came to mind, actually, this week. One of which was, I think if anybody's watched Tom Heaton's latest video, he made a point in that he, one, he doesn't like people, and I think we're all probably in the same vein as that when we're out with our cameras and vlogging. We prefer to do it on our own. But he said that he very rarely puts people in his shots. But he took a shot down on his local beach and he included the people and he said it told a story. You know, it told a story of what was going on, the people enjoying themselves on the beach, dog walking, even swimming. I think there was a few people there swimming in minus whatever degrees. And then also I did something this week. I do a sort of critique it on a Wednesday with a similar sort of camera club, I suppose, to what Dave was talking about. And there was a guy put an entry in this week and he found three silver birch trees on his exercise walk, and he was asking me about, you know, different compositions with these trees, and I was sort of tell him about, you know, different lens choices and just move around and just find different ways to shoot the trees. And he put an entry in, and it was, these trees are up on a hill, and he's got three silver birch trees. And he put a shot in where he left a lot of negative space on the left-hand side, and he stood there for quite a while because there was a footpath across the top, and he had dog walkers and various people in his scene. And the shot he took was great because you've got these three trees and this single dog walker was just there on the left-hand side. And I looked at the shot and I thought, well, that just tells a story now of those three trees. They're on a path, there's a connection with people rather than it just being about trees. And it got me thinking that I think that we all probably ignore people because we take a shot of landscapes. I think we've probably all at some point either included a person or even ourselves in an image, but we don't do it that often. But I think it does tell a story. So I just wondered what you guys thought about that, really.
I think it all depends on how much the proportion of the image is full of the person in the first place. I think it's a small person in the distance, and it helps to create. It helps the mind wander a bit.
Yeah, I agree.
As it's closer up, is you can recognise the person. It takes that story away. So it all depends on what lens you use, wide-angle lens, and scale, of course, for me.
Well,
this particular shot I was talking about. Sorry, just on that shot, he was very, very small. This person on the horizon, really small. And it sort of gave you that sense of solitude. This is really one small guy on his own on the top of a hill.
And a wider expanse around you. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, by the time this video comes out, my latest video would already be out, because it will come out 8:30 on Saturday morning. So I only took two images. Well, you'll have to watch the video because it's gone to me chatting. But on this particular video, I took two images. And one of the images is down by the river, and this was taken about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago now, this particular photo. And it was very foggy, and there was a couple of trees on the left and on the right hand side, with the river kind of going obviously in between these two trees. And on the opposite bank to me, there was a few joggers and there was a few walkers, but then there happened to be a couple of cyclists. And I took the image without the cyclists in, and then I waited for them to get right in the distance, so they was really kind of in the fog, and they was very kind of eerie figures. And I took that photo again with these two cyclists in, and that was the image I chose, because what James was saying, you know, you can just about make them out. They're not really prominent in the image, these two trees and the river, that's like the prominent features, but it's just a nice little feature to have. And I think if this picture was seen on Instagram or something on your phone, you wouldn't be able to appreciate that subtle little quality. But if it was if you viewed it on a 27-inch monitor or on a print, I think it would just add something to the photo that would be quite nice.
It's similar to adding silhouettes of birds in the sky. That again adds scale and a bit of character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, I think
I think it's scale. Sometimes putting someone, like for instance, often you get pictures of waterfalls, and I'm not saying put a person in a waterfall, but sometimes you look at a big, you have no idea the scale of that waterfall. It could be absolutely huge, it could be absolutely tiny, and you put a person in there, all of a sudden you've got a reference point and you've got a scale. But for me, I agree totally with what you're saying, James, about they need to be an anonymous person. It needs to be just you can't tell who it is. You have no idea. Yeah, a silhouette. You just don't know who that person is. And they can tell a story. So I took one the other week in woodland, actually, really good for putting people in. And I took one the other week of a misty path and the light going through this sort of tunnel almost of trees. And I took it and I looked at it and I thought, it needs something in it. It needs a human element. And I managed to find a guy walking a dog. And it just, you've done the same, haven't you, Jamie? I saw you've done the same. But it's just, that really can just add to the shot. And when you could do street, for instance, a lot of my street shots initially were very much like landscape. They were landscape compositions almost. I tried to apply the rules of landscape to street. But you still need that human element. Otherwise, it doesn't quite work. And I think that
yeah, there's definitely a place for people in shorts. Mm. Not all of them, though.
No. What about selfies? Is there a place for selfies?
Not when, well, you look like me, there's not.
I did, again, I took a selfie of myself. Well, in fact, Helen.
Funny that.
Sorry, yeah. Sorry, I was going to say Helen actually took it for me because I had to, this was in Iceland in the secret canyon, and to get some scale of how big that canyon was, I kind of went down and then kind of came back up, and I framed everything up and turned around and gave it a thumbs up, and she fired off a couple of shots. But I thought I quite liked that as a reference of, I wish I'd have had a different coat on. I had a blue coat, which didn't particularly stand out, but still,
it's going red.
I know, but it still gives the image some scale, you know, of how big that is with me in the image. So,
Mads Iversen does that quite a bit, doesn't he? I think, is it his girlfriend or wife, yeah, whatever, yeah. Uses as a
very effective. Scale,
it's very effective.
Yeah. I think the trouble with selfies, though, and when you take a picture of yourself in the scene, you have to work very hard to make it look natural. It very rarely looks natural because you are posing yourself in the scene. Whereas when you're taking a shot of others, like you're going back to your one you were talking about, Jamie, of the guy who took the people on the hill, I can imagine that was a very natural scene of them just walking or doing something. Yeah. And it's really hard to replicate that if you're trying to, if that makes sense. Even with street photography, I went to Manchester. That was your idea, actually, man. He told me to go to the northern quarter in Manchester, and there was it was a good thing. And there was a really nice row of buildings, and I waited there for ages, and no one walked down it, no one. And in the end, there were these two Polish guys doing some building work sort of over on the other street, and I said, listen, mate, do me a favour, you don't mind us. Just walked down the street, and he walked down the street. I took a shot of him, but it was really obvious that I told him to do that, even though he didn't know what I was aiming for. He didn't know anything, but it was, you could tell in the image that he was there because I wanted him to be there, not because he was there naturally. If that makes sense.
Felt staged.
Yeah, and it looked staged, and it's very hard to get that natural look if you're taking the shot of yourself. But then I guess a lot of people don't want that natural look. They want to say, here I am. In the...
Something that resonated with me last week was David mentioned, 2 weeks ago actually, and you mentioned it again last week, David, about looking back at artist photographers. And I thought, yeah, I need to take heed of this. I need to go back to college a bit and look. And I looked at Edward Hopper, and he's a very famous picture of a painting of a cafe, I think it's
Nighthawk.
Yes, yeah. That's the one. But instead of Nighthawk, I've got Low Cost or
Cost Cutter.
Route Corner. But what was really strange is I walked round the cafe. I've been going out for late night walks because obviously work finishes at 5 and it's dark. So I thought I need to go out. So I take my camera with me and go for a walk. And I was mentioning this to Jamie today. And my local shops, it's a row of shops, but there's this one particular shop. It's a Londis. So we're all Londis. It's green. Do they have Londis down south?
Yeah.
So it's a green, neon, if you like, front door windows, Best magazines on the, and I thought about this shot quite a bit. I've took some shots, but there's no people in it. And Jamie today mentioned about people, and I'd walked in this shot on a long exposure, and I'm a bit like a ghost, and I quite like the idea of creating this kind of neo luminescent signs, quite stark, working class corner shop, and me walking past it somehow. So again, I think the selfie thing, you could act, you could become a part of the scene and be an actor, and that really attracts me. So I'm going to go out for the rest. I've took 6 shots already of local shops on me couple of mile walk, and people might look at him and think he's gone now. There's no hope for Mally. He's not coming back from this.
Thought that years ago. What about?
But Edward Hopper, thanks to David, he made me go, yeah, you know what, I need to think about this a little bit more and go back and look at some artistry, if you like. And I've really, really enjoyed it on a night but just there, sat there.
There again, you've chosen a long exposure. Really, your character is unrecognisable.
Yes.
Manny, can I suggest someone to look at if you haven't already on go Twitter? On. There's a guy called Joshua K. Jackson.
Yeah. Crazy. Do you Jamie Windsor?
Yeah.
Do you watch Jamie?
Yeah.
I think did he mention him?
I don't know. I haven't watched him on, but
it's quite spooky because I'm sure he mentioned him, and I'd been looking at this with Edward Hopper, and then he showed me him, and it was like feeling insecure in a photograph. So you know the fear, the flight and fantasy. These images that the gentleman you've just mentioned of his name,
Joshua K. Jackson,
he takes pictures of basically kind of like shacks or houses that there's one light on upstairs.
Oh, no, no. This is a different guy. This guy takes photographs in, he's taken a lot around Soho in London and Chinatown.
No, different guy.
He takes shots of neon signs and the sort of thing that you're looking at, and he uses a lot of reds and blues. His main colour palette is reds and blues. But if you check him out, his photography, when I go back out doing street, I want to emulate some of his stuff because it's fantastic. It's all through windows and sort of, so the people...
On Twitter, is it?
Right. Yeah, it's on Twitter, Joshua K. Jackson. People, they're shielded from view by the condensation on the windows and sort of stuff. Fantastic. Yeah. Really brilliant work.
Oh, maybe people might like to see what I'm doing then.
It's funny when you just said about the Londis. Yeah. Now, when you think about it today and you'll think, you know, oh, crikey, you know, I can't take a picture of the Londis. That's so common. But you think in 50 years' time... Yeah. You know, like at the college at the moment, I mean, you know, we've got some of these amazing buildings, but right in the centre, there's this huge white marquee, which is used obviously for people that can meet outside during COVID. It doesn't go obviously with the landscape at all, but I keep thinking I really should photograph that and document that, even though it won't make a very pleasing landscape photography image. It goes against everything that we're aiming for, but really I should document that because that will be gone soon.
In 2 years' time, they might look at that and go, what? Was this what Darren took?
Exactly.
Why is that there?
Yeah.
Exactly. Somebody walking out of it or going into it with a mask on or something.
Yeah.
COVID.
And in 25 years' time, your shot of the Londis.
That's what I mean,
That's what St Helens was like. That's what, you know. That's
look at Nevins. Do you remember Nevins? Did you have Nevins down south?
No.
Nevins was like a big brand. And they always say, oh, we used to go and get...
Woolworths
as well, yeah. Mm-hmm. You just go and get ice gems with my grandma from Nevins. And imagine, a quarter pound a slice down.
Could you imagine now what people in 15, 20 years' time, when you get all the shots of the people with masks on and all, you know, documenting COVID, they're going to look and go, Jesus. Or some people look and go, oh, yeah, of course it's like that. But all the ones who are kids now and they grow up, you know, in 25 years' time, they look at those photos and think, wow, it's gonna be looking like water. It's gonna be like looking at wartime photos.
It is when they're wearing the gas masks. Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
But don't you think photographs of people simply on the high street taken now, they look in 20 years' time, they're gonna think, wow,
on
the high street.
Mm. I don't want it to become the norm. That's for sure. I don't. I'm beginning to see it's like kind of norm.
The mask will become the norm.
Normalizing and that terrifies me.
Do you, James?
Oh God, I hope not. Because I think of gigs and I think of us going watching like rock bands, heavy rock bands, and going watching. But I couldn't imagine going in a stadium right now with thousands of people, and that it relates to the mask thing that it almost stops us from being free. The mask. Once the mask is gone, we're free again.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we have to wear the mask at work all day, unless I'm in the workshop, and then that can come off. But if I'm walking around the college, everyone has to wear a mask. Mm. And the other day, I was in one building, and then I came out of that building, and then you walk through the grounds, and then I'm going to take it off and put it under my chin, and all. And I got into one of the other buildings, and I actually forgot to put it back on. Yeah. And I walked for about 100 yards, and there was something, I couldn't work it out, but something in my brain was saying, oh, this, I don't know, you just feel quite free. You know, I just had this really, I can't describe it, but I had this feeling about me that I just felt almost like quite happy, and I couldn't,
liberty.
And then I realised I didn't have my mask on. And as soon as I put the mask back on, I felt like this kind of almost like this claustrophobic kind of feeling again. And I thought, that was crazy. I just walked for 100 yards without this mask on, and I couldn't put my finger on it, but why I felt so happy. And it was because of that bloody mask.
The psychology behind... Psychology?
Psychology. I like the psychology, though.
Psychology? The ciderology behind it is just terrifying.
Do you know what I think will help? See-through masks. See-through masks, they can at least still see your facial expressions. Sure, there's a market out there.
Yeah,
I've seen loads of that.
I've seen one that's literally a helmet, a see-through yeah. helmet that you can
like
just
a big visor. Yeah.
What? How long? Let's go around the pub. How long do you think that we're going to be wearing masks for? I mean, how long, Dave? How long do you think?
Certainly till a minimum end of this year, and quite possibly well into next year.
James?
Yeah.
At least 5 years.
5 years, you think?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it will become the norm. Yeah.
Jamie?
I do.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't go to 5 years, but I'd definitely say within the next couple of years we'll still be wearing them in certain situations.
Mally?
Yeah.
What's the gentleman who makes Alien, the films?
Ridley Scott.
How long Ridley Scott's been making movies, to me it feels like that's how long we're going to be with masks. This is like Blade Runner stuff.
Okay, Darren?
2025 is nah. I think 2030.
I can see it on public transport and airplanes and stuff like that. That it will be the norm. I can't see them taking it out. Maybe in a pub and a restaurant, if you're socially distanced, they might do in the future, but public transport, yeah.
Darren? Shit the bed. Can I? Sorry, Darren.
go on, man. So, what are you going to say?
No, Darren. Okay. Sorry.
For me, I don't know. I hate to admit it, but I don't think as long as James, but I do think I would go with another 12 months. I would go with Easter, around like springtime 2022.
So I'm gonna like be the most optimistic one here, which is like never happens, does it? I actually think we'll be without masks by the autumn. I think once we get everyone vaccinated and things start to die down and the virus starts to disappear a little bit, I think everyone will very quickly just go back to life. They'll just, because they want to, and because you look at it now, it's so hard at the moment to get people in a mask. As soon as there's a chance that we'll be out of it, I think we'll all come out of it. I think, and people do forget very, very quickly. So
I just think it's created that much anxiety now among society, and a lot of people, not everyone, but a lot of people, it will become the norm.
Oh, that's terrifying.
No matter what.
That's terrifying.
Because there's new variants coming out. They're saying COVID will never go away, despite what vaccines are out.
No, but you look at the flu. The flu was a massive killer when it first appeared. And as usually with viruses, as they go along, they weaken. The mutations weaken them. So I don't know.
I'm glad you've said that, Gary.
Right. You're
spot on what Gary said there. That's science right there. Gary Science. Spot on that, man.
But I think
do you know why I said, I didn't mean to interrupt you again for the second time, Darren, is that the idea of the mask lasting is more of a deterrent, a psychological aid, almost like a crutch. I love Salvador Dali, and he paints a lot of images with these crutches, and we have these crutches, and there's a meaning behind it, that we have these walking sticks to help us get through every day. And I feel that mask is a part of that. So I think what Gary's saying, if people realise that the virus will keep going, but it will get weaker, and as a nation, as a world, we will get stronger, as we always do. We will fight this, and the idea of the mask should go away quite quickly.
I kind of look at history, and I look at the Spanish flu, and the Spanish flu killed millions more, millions and millions of people. And if you look at, say, for instance, the 1925 Cup Final, Wembley, no one was out there wearing a mask. There was 100,000 people all stood together watching the football. I just think that's the thing to look at. It seems awful now. It seems terrible. Life seems dreadful, and it's the worst it's been during this pandemic. But I just think if you look at history, history tells you that we do come through these, and we do get stronger, and we do go back to normality. There's never been a virus throughout history that's made us wear masks forever. You know, we always recover.
Yeah.
That's going political for me as well. Do you know what I mean by that? No, I don't really want to talk about it, because it means it's opening a can of worms. There's a reason why we're told to do
this. You've just done it.
Done what?
I don't want to talk about it.
I'm in bad books tonight, Anna.
I've got a story.
You're not in my bad books, Manny.
I love you, Gary.
I love you too, mate.
And do you know, just, no, shut up. Shut up, James. You're always on my case.
This is the point now, isn't it? The point is that we do fall out occasionally, but we're all grown up. We're all adults, and we all can talk through it.
Can I just say, I'm not falling out with anyone.
Oh, I fell out with you earlier.
I know you did. I could see on your face, and I really, really didn't mean to upset you.
Can you make it live, Gary?
I didn't mean to upset you. Not one bit, mate.
Just for Darren's
sake. It's all right. It's all right.
I would never, you know, would I want to purposely upset you?
No, of course.
But I do have to go back to what I'm saying about these masks.
Oh, if you go back to the trees for a second, I thought...
Oh, no.
Please, don't call him a knobhead this time.
Oh, do you know, we're all... I'm not going there. We all are. Anyway, do you not feel that we're being led down a road? Don't get me wrong. I believe in what we're being told, and we do as we're told, and we listen. I'm a great believer in doing discipline and listening to what people tell me, who are far more knowledgeable than I will ever be. But it worries me, things like the mask, and it all comes down to gigs and concerts and being free and having fun with your friends. It worries me deeply that we can't be close to each other. I know some of you amongst us are not big huggers, but I'm a big hugger, and I miss human contact. I miss human contact.
Are you a hugger? Seriously?
I miss seeing you guys, and this is hard. This is hard now.
So with that, I think we're going to call it a day here. Before we go, I just want to give a shout out and say, look, Twitter, this is how you resolve arguments, right? You have a discussion, don't you, Mally? We have a bit of a falling out.
You can't put that in. People will think I genuinely were calling you a knobhead, and I wasn't.
You are.
I wasn't. I called you a knobhead.
Well, I
can't call two people a knobhead and mean it.
I think
just because when you were six, you chopped some branches off a tree. You two need get some tougher skin. I'm surprised that you burnt.
I'm not mourning. It's you.
Anyway, I was joking.
No.
Yes, Gary, what are you saying? Anyway, listen to this.
What were you saying, Gary?
Anyway, it's nice that we can have these debates and have strong opinions and still be able to talk to each other at the end of the podcast, isn't it? And maybe Twitter could learn a lesson from us.
Well said.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. I concur.
Yeah. And with that, I think we'll say goodbye before we end up beating each other up. And do you know, it's going to be one of those situations where we're actually in a pub.
Where we're actually in a pub
and I could have got Mally outside now.
Let's face it, Gary. There's not been all beating up here. Love, peace, friendship, trees.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Hugging. Hug. We'd have gone outside for a good hug.
Yes.
I'm glad you said hug at the end of that.
Yeah, me too.
Donna.
Anyway, thank you very much for watching, and we'll see you all. We'll see you all next week. Goodbye.
See you there.
See you. Good day.
Oh, Jesus Christ.